Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
We're picking back up our series this morning, The Chase, Pursuing God, and today's message is titled Holy Desperation. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezra chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 10 through 13 in just a moment. You know, I read an article recently that said that Americans are streaming, binge-watching more than ever, and it stated that 74% of America's binge-watch weekly. Amen. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you? Okay. Anyway, binge watching, which has risen in popularity due to on-demand and streaming services, is the practice of watching multiple episodes of a TV series in a single sitting. Multiple episodes of the same series in a single sitting. Another article titled, What Happens to Your Brain When You Binge Watch a TV Series, cited Dr. Renee Carr, who is a doctor of psychology, who states that when engaged in an enjoyable activity, such as binge watching your favorite show, your brain is continually producing a feel-good chemical called dopamine. Dopamine. And she says that when your brain releases dopamine, your body experiences a drug-like high. All right? So you experience a pseudo-addiction to that TV show because you develop cravings for dopamine. Every time you watch one of those shows and it releases dopamine, then your brain starts to crave, your body starts to crave another release of dopamine. Come on now, some of you have an addiction, amen? You can say amen or oh me. So she goes on to say, as many episodes as you watch, your brain keeps saying, just one more. Just one more. Even if it's late at night, you're dead tired, you know you have to go to work early the next morning and you are going to pay for it, but your brain says, just one more, just one more. Amen? Even if you're neglecting other essential things in your life, and I've heard of people neglecting bathing, neglecting even going to the bathroom and just urinating in themselves. This is how addictive this stuff is. So she says, even if you're neglecting other essential things, your brain just keeps telling you, one more, one more, one more. Each episode is so gratifying that it releases that feel-good surge of dopamine in your brain, creating an addiction that makes you want more, more, more. So the gratification produces a continual longing for more. Now, if people can have such a compelling craving for a TV show because it makes them feel good, how much more intense should our desire for God be? Because in His presence is fullness of joy. There's no greater feel-good experience than being in the presence of God. Amen? The psalmist, writing of his personal experience of God, exclaims that in God's presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forever. More. There's no TV show that can give you what God's presence does. Amen. God's presence gives us the ultimate high, the ultimate experience of joy, and it should leave us craving for more. We should just keep saying, more God, more God, more God. So this dichotomy between the gratification and the desire is also, or should also be, reflected in our relationship with God. The gratification of God's presence and the desperation for more of Him is reflected in the experience of God's people in Ezra chapter 3. Read with me, if you will, verses 10 through 13. When the builders completed the foundation of the Lord's temple, the priests put on their robes and took their places to blow their trumpets. And the Levites, descendants of Asaph, remember who were the descendants of Asaph? They were the worship leaders that David had appointed in the temple. All right, that's why you'll see some of the Psalms and it'll say the sons of Asaph, you know, because they were the worship leaders along with those of another tribe. All right, so it says, and the Levites, descendants of Asaph, clashed their cymbals to praise the Lord just as King David had prescribed. With praise and thanks, they sang this song to the Lord. He is so good. See, when you experience something good, you say, that's so good. And that's what they're doing. They're saying, he is so good. His faithful love for Israel endures forever. Then all the people gave a great shout, praising the Lord because the foundation of the Lord's temple had been laid. But many of the older priests, Levites, and other leaders who had seen the first temple wept aloud when they saw the new temple's foundation. The others, however, were shouting for joy. The joyful shouting and the weeping mingled together in a loud noise that could be heard far in the distance. What's happening in the story? Ezra is recounting the story of a day when, after 70 years of exile in Babylon, remember they had been taken captive because of their sin and their rebellion against God. They had been taken captive into Babylon because they refused to repent, but God always gives a promise of hope. And he said after 70 years that he would free them and he would allow them to return to Jerusalem and rebuild. So the 70 years had come and God freed them from Babylonian exile, and a Jewish remnant returned to Jerusalem. And the very first thing they did was that they began to rebuild the temple of God, which had been destroyed in the Babylonian invasion. And in this chapter, there are actually three references to the temple and five additional times where it is called the house of the Lord, or the Lord's house. And this repeated mention expresses the central importance that the temple, or the house of the Lord, held to God's people. It was of central importance to them. That's why it's the first thing they start to rebuild. How central is the church to you? Awful quiet in here. That's where you can say amen or oh me. Amen. But the reason the temple was central to their heart and to their life and their existence is because it was the place where God dwelt among his people. It was the place where God manifested his glorious presence. The Shekinah glory came down in the Holy of Holies. It was the place where God's people gathered to worship, gathered to celebrate the goodness and blessings of God. It was the place that God designated for sacrifices to be offered on behalf of their sins. And it was the place where they came to experience the forgiveness of God that was extended through those sacrifices. So it was central to their life and to their identity as God's people. And after 70 years of being cut off from the house of God and the place of God's manifest presence, having been cut off from worship and the presence of God, it was a top priority for them to rebuild the temple. It was a top priority for them to worship again and experience God's presence, as it should be for us. So they start building immediately the temple of the Lord, and they finish the foundation, and they have a celebration service. Folks, you know, sometimes we stop to give thanks only after the blessing of God has been completed, or the miracle of God has been completed. Amen. But every step along the way, we should recognize the activity of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, and we should give thanks. So all they've got is a slab. All they've got is a foundation. And they stop to have a worship service and give thanks to God. So they weren't just celebrating some blocks laid in the ground. They were celebrating the mercy of God in forgiving them. Because remember, it was their sin that caused them to be sent into exile. But now they're saying, oh God, we're so grateful for your mercy. Thank you for not casting us off forever. Thank you for restoring us. And so they're celebrating the goodness of God and giving them a fresh start. Aren't you grateful God gives us fresh starts? Amen. And they were celebrating the faithfulness of God in delivering them from the slavery of Babylon. They were giving thanks and celebrating the goodness of God in bringing them back home to the promised land, their spiritual inheritance, and really accepting them back as his covenant people. And the same reasons that they had to celebrate are the reasons we have to celebrate today. God has been so merciful towards us, forgiving us of our sins, giving us a new life in Christ, amen, receiving us unto himself as his people, as his children, amen, despite all our failures and shortcomings, hallelujah. So our experience parallels theirs in many ways. But they stopped to celebrate and give thanks to God, not when the temple was completed, but when the foundation was laid. Learn to give thanks for God, to God, when you just see the smallest activity of God in your life, amen. Amen. They had spent 70 years in exile, strangers in a foreign land, no land to call their own, no home, no king, and no temple. Most of all, no temple. And the temple was the place of worship. It was the focal point of their experience with God. So they had been, in essence, cut off from God. So when the foundation was laid, because it was the work, a work of God in progress, it was an advancement. It was a blessing. They could see the hand of God in it. And the anticipation of all those 70 years of being able to come to God's house again and worship Him and experience His presence, that was all just welling up within their soul. And it erupted in this loud celebration service. But wait a minute. There are mixed sounds in this worship service. There's joyful shouting and there's weeping mingled together. Why isn't everybody shouting for joy? Why are some people weeping? And there is a contrast here between the younger generation and the older generation. The younger generation who had never seen Solomon's temple, who had never experienced the glory of God's presence that had been manifest in Solomon's temple. And so they're satisfied and they're grateful with what God is doing because they didn't know anything more. They didn't know anything better.
Correct. They'd have no idea. Right.
They grew up in captivity, so their experience of God's house and God's presence is limited. It's like folks who have never experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They've never experienced the moving of God's presence. They don't know any better. They may be satisfied to go to a lifeless church service thinking that that's all there is.
Right.
Because they don't know anything beyond that. So they didn't know the glory of Solomon's temple. Remember the glory of Solomon's temple? Remember when they first dedicated Solomon's temple and the presence of God came down in such a heavy way that the priests just fell to the ground? They could not even stand to minister, and God's presence was visible like a cloud. It was tangible in their midst. See, all that older generation, they remember the moving of God. They remember the tangible presence of God. And they're saying, you know, we're glad that the foundation has been laid, but we know that there is so much more of God to be had. Hallelujah. So they're grateful and they rejoice that the foundation of the Lord's house has been laid, but they're weeping because there is a desire, there is a longing in their heart that says what we presently have, it's good, but it pales in significance to the glory of God that we know is available, to the glory of God's presence that was manifest before in His temple.
Yes, Lord.
And their weeping was a holy desperation because they knew there was so much more. Even the prophet Haggai had prophesied that God promised that the future glory of this temple would be greater than the past glory. So they knew the past glory was so wonderful. And they knew that what was at present, it was good, but it was not what God had promised. It was not what God wanted, amen? And they were comparing what was before, knowing that God promised even greater glory in the future. And they were not satisfied. Oh, they celebrated in what they saw and in what had been accomplished. But they said, there is so much more, and we desire so much more, because we know God has promised so much more. Hallelujah. And as you look at the dichotomy between the appreciation for what God is doing and a desperation for more of what God has promised to do, we see the conditions for experiencing a greater glory, a greater manifestation of God's presence in our day, in our church, in our city, and in our lives. The first thing we see is that God manifests His presence where there is appreciation. Where there is appreciation. Appreciation is a doorway into God's presence. What I mean, Psalm 104 says it. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Thanksgiving is appreciation. Amen. And thanksgiving is essential to encountering, to entering in to God's presence. Thanksgiving is the key that opens the gates or the doorway into heaven's portal, into heaven's court. There's a certain protocol for when you have been invited to meet with a person of importance, a king, a president, a prime minister, or anyone who's highly respected. It's generally considered right and necessary to bring a gift as an expression of honor to the dignitary with whom you are meeting. Proverbs 18:16 says it this way: giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. Well, in this case, the important person we want access to is God. Yes. Amen. Amen. Do you remember when the wise men came to worship Jesus? They didn't come empty-handed, did they? They came bringing gifts.
Amen.
Of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, expensive. Amen. Gifts. To a baby who was the king.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we want an audience with the king of the universe, we need to enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. You need to bring your gifts, your sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Don't wait till you get to church to try to muster up.
Amen.
A gift of thanksgiving and praise. This should be something that you are cultivating.
Okay.
The wise men didn't wait till they got to Bethlehem to try to buy a gift for Jesus.
Okay.
They brought it with them for the 2 years that they were seeking him.
Amen. Amen.
See, it's got to be a lifestyle, folks. It's got to be something we carry with us all the time, these gifts of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord.
Yes.
Several years ago, there was a study that showed that only a small percentage of people who go to church said that they had ever sensed the presence of God in a service. How sad. Why would you want to go to church if you're not going to encounter God's presence, if you're just going to go through an empty, lifeless ritual? I had enough of that when I grew up.
Thank you.
The fact is that if we don't practice the presence of God throughout the week, we won't be prepared to encounter him when we come to his house on Wednesday night or Sunday. Why? Because we won't have a sensitivity to his presence. We need to practice the presence of God all week long. How do we do that? Through praise and thanksgiving, we enter into his courts. Hallelujah. You see, if God's presence is the continual pursuit of our lives, then thanksgiving must be the regular practice of our lives.
Amen.
We don't wait to get into the presence of a king to muster up our gift of thanksgiving and praise. We bring it with us.
Yes.
Because we have been practicing it and perfecting it all week long. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. You know, some of us, have you ever had a car with a dead battery?
Mm-hmm.
And you turn the key and it goes. Some of us.
Just like that, Pastor.
That's right. Some of us, we come to church with a dead battery. Because we haven't been praising and thanking God all week long. And then we're hoping the worship team can kind of rev us up. And then we wonder why is everybody else experiencing God and we're not? And we gotta live that life of praise and thanksgiving, practice the presence of God throughout the week. And then when we gather together as his people, there's going to be a Holy Ghost explosion and God's presence is going to be manifest. Appreciation is a magnet for God's presence. Psalm 22 verse 3 says this: yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of your people.
Oh, yes.
The King James says God inhabits the praises of his people.
Cool.
Now the word praise in this verse is a song of praise, thanksgiving, and adoration. That's what it means, the particular Hebrew word. A song of praise, thanksgiving, and adoration. And the word translated as enthroned or inhabited in Hebrew means to dwell, to abide, to move in, to sit down, and to remain. When we offer to God the gifts of thanksgiving and praise, it creates an environment where God moves in, where God sits down, and where God stays in our midst. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. When we give thanks for what God has already done and what he's doing in our midst, he desires to do more. He desires to show himself to us in a greater way. Have you ever done something for somebody who's ungrateful? And you think to yourself, man, after all I did and look how ungrateful. And then after that, you don't want to do anything else for him, right? You're like, uh-uh. Not me. You make a fool of me once. But when you do something for someone who's truly appreciative, you keep on doing. Amen. The Jewish remnant was giving thanks to God for what he had done in setting them free from Babylon, in restoring them to the promised land, in enabling them to build the foundation of the temple. They were giving thanks for what he was doing in their midst at this present moment. It was still a work in progress. It wasn't finished. It was far from what they knew it had been. Amen. But God was with them and they could see his hand at work. So they were giving thanks. Folks, learn to give thanks even to the small activity of God that you see in your life. You know, you're praying for that husband that just seems to be demon possessed, amen? And you're praying for him and you're like, God, how come you're not hearing me? God, where? And we have all these complaints. But one day you walk in and you see your husband watching a preacher online. Instead of thinking, what good is that going to do? Look how he acts in it. Because folks, be real. That's what we do sometimes. Inside us, we should be saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. Get a hold of him. God, I praise you that he's even listening to that. You know, praise God for the little steps. Because when you praise him for those little things, God's going to say, oh, they really appreciate that. I'm going to move some more. There was so much more to be done and much more that God had promised. But they were saying, Lord, we see your hand. We see your hand at work and we are grateful for what you have done. We're grateful for what you are doing and we are desperate for more of you. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We are desperate for the greater glory of your presence. So God manifests his presence where there's appreciation and God manifests his presence where there is desperation. Desperation for God is expressed in a passionate heart. Remember, two things were happening. Joy, celebration of joy, and weeping.
Yeah, that's
thanksgiving right. And weeping. So God manifests his presence where there's appreciation and where there's desperation. And desperation is expressed in a passionate cry. In verse 13 that we read earlier, I want to emphasize the fact that both their joyful shouting and their weeping was a loud noise that could be heard from a distance. Some churches you go in, sounds like you're at a funeral home.
Yes.
Feels like you're at a funeral home.
Yes.
Feels like they're mourning that God is dead or something. Because it's so quiet, it's so lifeless, there's no joy. Our God is alive. Our God is at work. Our God is great. Our God is present. Hallelujah. And so both their celebration of joy and their cry of desperation, it was loud. Hallelujah. You know, often, you know, we have loud praises in our church with instruments and amplified voices, you know, singing dignified, rehearsed, beautiful music to God. But what is often missing in many churches is passionate shouts of praise. Not here. We got shouters here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the shouters. If you don't shout, I'll shout. Amen. So what's often missing, you know, many churches, you know, I know churches that they have these beautiful bands and they, you know, they're hired professionals and everything. The music sounds wonderful.
Dead.
But it's dead. There's no move of God. And the people just, yes. they come and they sing and they go home and, you know, there's no passion. There's no passion.
Oh my God. Ugh.
Their worship is too dignified. There's no noise. There's no undignified worship. You remember David?
Yeah.
When he was overjoyed? Was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And the Ark of the Covenant, for those that don't know, was the place where God's visible or manifest presence resided.
Amen.
And it had been taken captive by the enemy. Now David is bringing it back to Jerusalem, and he is so overjoyed for the restoration of God's presence that the king, the king of Israel, amen, he is singing and he is shouting and he dances so intensely that he lost his kingly robes.
Yes, hallelujah.
And his proper dignified wife criticizes David. How could you embarrass yourself like that before the servant girls?
For the Lord.
You know? And she's so critical. And David responds this way. He says, I will become even more undignified than this for my Lord. Hallelujah. David was saying that he appreciated the presence of God so much that his gratitude was expressed in this praise of abandonment, in this undignified worship. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. That's where we get the song, when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will shout like David shouted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Folks, we need some more undignified worship today. But what else is missing today are loud cries of desperation for God's glory, for God's manifest presence. These older priests, Levites, and leaders, they were not only celebrating with joy, but they're also weeping aloud. The younger generation probably thought, you old people, you're crazy.
Uh-huh.
Why are you crying? This is supposed to be a joyous occasion. You know, progress is being made. God is working. But they knew the glory of God that they had experienced in the past. And they knew that there was so much more that God had promised. So their desperation for God's glory was also unrestrained. They couldn't hold in the cry. It was a loud, desperate cry that rose from their heart. David's desperation in the presence of God was also at times unrestrained. You read in Psalm 42, verse 1, he expresses his desperate cry for God, saying, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants after you, my God. And the image in the words that are used there is of a deer that is running for its life from a predatory animal. And let me tell you something, when you're running, panting ain't pretty. You're like, right?
Exactly.
So that's how David is feeling. And this deer is desperately seeking water, not only to get a drink of water, but also to submerge itself in the water, to hide itself beneath the water, to throw off its scent from the predator.
That's good.
And we know water represents the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
And we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. What are we talking about? Being
Amen.
Submerged,
Amen.
Being immersed
Amen.
In the Holy Spirit.
That's good, Pastor.
But this is how desperate David felt for the Lord, like a deer panting for its life, wanting to just throw itself in the water. David is saying, I'm panting for the presence of God. I just want to throw myself into the presence of God. I just want to be submerged.
Amen.
In his presence.
In his presence.
Because you see, folks, desperation is not muted, restrained, or dignified. Desperation is passionate. It is loud. It is undignified. It is filled with tears and longing. I saw the image of a desperate person on TV this week on the news. I don't know how many of you saw the news report of a woman that passed out at her wheel of her car, and one of her coworkers realized it, and the coworker started running along the side of the car, screaming and waving off traffic as the car went. That was desperation.
Yeah.
This is not desperation. Amen.
Go ahead, Pastor.
If she had walked through the intersection like this, the cars would have come and just ran her over and collided with the vehicle.
That's right.
But she was desperate for people to realize there was an emergency. She was desperate for people to stop, desperate for people to come and help. Desperation is loud. Desperation is undignified. Desperation is passionate. Desperation is filled with cries. Desperation is filled with tears. Desperation is filled with longing. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And let me tell you something. When you're passionate about something, passion casts reason to the wind. Like the woman who anointed Jesus with an expensive jar of ointment worth an entire year's salary. And the Pharisees, the religious folks, they criticized her, saying, "What a waste." Oh, and reason, if she had gone with reason, reason would have said, "Oh, that costs way too much. That's a whole year's salary. You can't do that. You can't waste it on Jesus' feet." But passion said, "He has done so much for me, and I love him so much that he is worthy of this and so much more. I have to do it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And desperation for God draws us to God and draws God to us. Everybody else was satisfied with the foundation being laid and having a joyous celebration service and going home. But the elders wept aloud. And the word in Hebrew is baka, and it means to weep bitterly, to cry out aloud, to shed tears. Amen. Why did they weep so bitterly? They knew that there was so much more of God, that they were not satisfied with traces of his presence. They wanted the fullness of his glory. One writer tells of how he was in his office at home working, and he heard a blood-curdling, desperate scream from outside. And he recognized it was his daughter's cry. How many of you know you can recognize your children's voice even from afar when you don't see them? Amen. He recognized it was his daughter's cry, an urgent cry, a desperate cry. He jumped up from his desk. He ran outside as fast as he could, his heart pumping, adrenaline rushing, not knowing what had happened to his little girl. When he found her, she had fallen off of her motorized scooter, and she had cut up her knee. He spoke of how her desperate cry had immediately mobilized his 200-plus pound body to run as fast as it could to meet her. He made the point that our desperation pulls God towards us to make himself manifest in our life. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
When we cry out to God, that cry of desperation, he hears the cry of his child, and he runs to meet us.
Amen.
And make himself manifest.
That's good.
Do you ever leave a service where God was present, and though you're grateful for what God did and you experienced his presence, your heart still cries out because you say, "Lord, I know there's so much more. There's so much more." The classic Christian writer A.W. Tozer said, "What I'm anxious to see in Christian believers is a beautiful paradox. I want to see in them the joy of finding God, while at the same time they are blessedly pursuing him." So you're finding him, and that joy of finding him, that dopamine release, so to speak, gives you an addiction to say, "I want more. I want more. God, what I'm experiencing is so good, but Lord, I want more. I want more." So he says, "I want to see in them the joy of finding God, while at the same time they are blessedly pursuing him. I want to see in them the great joy of having God, yet always wanting him more." Hallelujah.
That's good. Amen. That's good.
He goes on to say, "To have found God and still to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love." To have found God and still pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. It is possible to be satisfied with God and hungry at the same time. I would describe it.
Yes.
I don't eat it anymore because I'm vegan, but I used to love cheesecake. Don't bring me any because I can't eat it. But you take one bite of that luscious, creamy, sweet, yet tangy deliciousness of a dessert. And you just savor that one bite, and it's so satisfying. It's so fulfilling. And while you're satisfying your taste buds, you're also saying, whew, I want more. I want more. Amen. Perhaps that's why I have too much cheesecake on my hips. Amen. This is very rich and high in calories. But I don't eat it anymore. Amen. But what I'm saying is, it's possible to be satisfied and hungry at the same time. We are satisfied when we experience the presence of God, because in His presence there's fullness of joy. But at the same time, our spirit cries out and says, God, this is so wonderful. I want more. I want more. I want more. Hallelujah. Appreciation for what He has done and what He's doing, coupled with desperation for more, for more, for more, creates an irresistible environment that pulls God towards us like a magnet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, there's an old Caribbean song that says, just like a magnet, just like a magnet. Amen. If I could sing, I'd sing it for you, because I love that little chorus. But God is just like a magnet. It's just like our praise, our worship is just like a magnet that pulls God towards us. You know, we've had a wonderful celebration service today. The Holy Spirit has moved in our midst. He has spoken. He has touched lives. God has been present with us. But you know what? I'm still hungry for more. Because I know there's more. I know there's more. So let us come before Him hungry for more, appreciative for what He's done, but hungry for more, desperate for more, because He has promised so much more. There's so much more of His presence to be had. Yes. And folks, the first step to knowing and experiencing the presence of our wonderful God is to enter into relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners. And sin has cut us off from God so that we can't know Him, so that we can't experience Him. That's the whole reason that Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless life, and gave His life on the cross for us as a sacrifice. He paid the penalty for our sin so that when we repent of our sins and place our faith in Him, we can be forgiven, we can be cleansed of our sin, and we can be restored to right relationship with Him. We can be made sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
And then we can know Him, we can experience Him. Amen. And so if you're here today or you're listening online and you have never given your heart personally to Christ and repented of your sins, or maybe you did so several years ago and you've drifted away and you can feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart to say it's time to come back. If either of those cases describes you, I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me. It's not that my words are special. I just want to help you to know how to pray, to turn from your sins and place your faith in Christ, so that you can be brought into right relationship with God. So would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. And I believe that You love me so much that You died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life and I turn to You in faith. I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins, and I invite You to come live inside of me. I give You my life. Help me from this day forward to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to be the first to congratulate you. You made the best decision of your life, and I welcome you to the family of God. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer in-house, I want to encourage you to just text I prayed to the number on the screen, or online type I prayed in the comments. Why? Because we want to send you free of charge a little booklet to help you understand the prayer that you just prayed and your next steps, because that prayer was a beginning of a lifelong relationship with God, not an ending. And we want to help you understand how to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So we want to send you free of charge this little e-booklet, but to do so, we do need your name and email address. So if you would, just text I prayed to the number on the screen, or type I prayed in the comments. A little later today, you will get a response message with a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and email email address, and then we'll be able to send you this free book. But in the meantime, three things I want to encourage everybody to do, those who just prayed and every Christian, because these three things are essential to growing our relationship with God. One, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Start with Thanksgiving. As we just saw, Thanksgiving brings us into the presence of God. So thank God for all the good things in your life, all your blessings, for life, for health, for strength, for your job, for your house, for your family, for your friend, every good thing in your life. Thank Him daily for that. And then talk to Him about whatever's going on in your life that you need His help. Problems that you're facing, decisions that you're making, whatever it is, talk to God and ask His help. That's a very basic form of prayer. Talk to God. Secondly, let God talk to you. How does God talk to us? Number one way God talks to us is through the Bible, His Word. It's His message to us. And if you don't have a written Bible, I encourage you to download the YouVersion app on your phone or tablet. It's free. There's never a charge. You can read as much as you want. And I encourage you to start reading in 1 John in the New Testament. It's a short book, just 5 chapters long. Before you read, just pray and ask God to help you understand what He's saying and what it means for your life. What you don't understand, put it to the side for now. When you need to understand it, God will help you understand it. What you do understand, ask God to help you put it in practice in your life. Do that every day. And then thirdly, find a local Assembly of God church, a Spirit-filled church. Get connected. Put down deep roots so that they can help walk alongside of you and help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. Of course, if you're here in South Florida, we welcome you and invite you to be a part of our New Life Church family. We have a very loving church family here, and we would love to have you as a part. If you're online and you're out of our area, then we encourage you to find an Assembly of God church near to you and put down roots there. If we do these three things, we will grow. We will grow on a regular basis in our life. So I encourage you to do that. But once again, congratulations to all of you who just prayed, and welcome to the family of God. Amen. And to those of us who have already received Christ as our Savior, are you hungry for more? Do you want more of His presence, more of His power in your life? If you do, would you just slip out and make your way to this altar just for a few moments and just say, God, I want more of You. I'm so grateful for the work of Your Spirit in my life. I'm so grateful for what You have been doing in me. But Lord, I know that there is so much more, and I want more. I want more. I am not satisfied. I want more. Just reach your hand towards heaven and tell it to the Lord. Hallelujah. I want more, Jesus. Church, raise your voice to the Lord. Raise your voice to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for Your presence at work in our lives and in our midst, Lord God. But Lord, our heart longs and even faints for more of Your presence, Lord God. Lord, there is a desperate cry rising within us that says, Lord, we are not satisfied. We know that You have promised so much more. And we know in time past You have moved in such an intense way, Lord God, such a miraculous way. We know that there is more, and we want more, Lord God. We are not content where we are, and we cry out to You for a fresh move of Your Spirit in our lives, Lord God, for a fresh move individually and as a church, Lord God, a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit. Father, I pray that You would help us, Lord God, to practice Your presence daily, that You would help us to cultivate, Lord God, the heart of bringing sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving on a regular basis, because we know appreciation is a magnet that draws Your presence. And Father, we pray that that desperation in our heart would intensify until there is a loud cry that would rise from the hearts of Your people, even as it rose from the elders of Israel that said they know there was a greater glory. Lord, we know that there is a greater glory, and we are crying out, Lord, for Your glory to be manifest. Father, for any at this altar that are not yet baptized in Your Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that You would stir their hearts, that they would seek to be filled with Your Spirit, Lord God, and that as they seek You, that You would pour out of Your Holy Spirit upon them, O God, and that they would begin to flow in the supernatural, even as they speak in tongues, Lord God. Manifest Your presence, Lord. Manifest Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah.
Here in Your presence. We are undone. We are undone.
Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we pray that you would hear the cries of our heart. And that as David said, that his cry ascended before your throne and you heard him. And you came down, Lord God, and you touched the earth and the earth trembled. Father, we pray that you would hear our cry and that you would come down, Lord God, and that you would touch the earth in this place, Lord God, on a regular basis, Lord. And that this very place and our souls would tremble before your presence, oh God. Lord, we want more of you. May we continue to seek you throughout this week, Lord God. May we practice your presence on a daily basis so that when we come together collectively, Lord God, that there would be a mighty move of your spirit in our midst, oh God. Father, bless your people as we go from this place. Let your word and your spirit continue to speak and change our lives, Lord, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. We love you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.